Opportunity to put this sermon into practice before the 23rd year was over. And so now we're in the year 24th. So we're going to be looking back a little, but at the same time, hopefully it's an encouragement to your soul to help you as you walk with Jesus as you come into the year 2024. I want to talk to you today about Paul's final days. Paul's final days. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, we're going to stand and reading the Lord's word this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, it's on the board behind me if you don't have a Bible and have it open there to follow along. Reading from the NIV, it says this: in the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing, soon appearing, we believe, the coming and the rapture of the church and his kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word. Be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. So if you're going to do any of these, do it with great patience and careful instructions. Don't be that person that says, I love you and I'm going to tell you the truth, and you cut them down like you cut down a tree with a chainsaw. Have great patience and be careful in instruction. For the time will come when men will not put up with sound doctrine. We're living in that time now. Instead, to suit their own desires, they gather around them of great numbers of teachers to say what their itching ear wants to hear. They will turn the ears away from the truth and turn aside to myths. But you, keep your head in all situations. Endure hardship. Do the work of an evangelist. Discharge all the duties of your ministry. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who long for his appearing. Are you longing for his appearing this morning? Amen. There's a crown of righteousness laid up for you if you are. Let us pray. Father, once again, we humbly submit ourselves into your care. We thank you for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. We thank you for what you're doing in this church and the ministries that this church supports and does here in our community. Lord, your arm reaches long and far through your people. And we pray that everything we do in Jesus' name. We don't do for our glory or for our recognition, but we do it because we want people to know about Jesus. Bless our time here this morning as we look at your word. And Lord, we're just so grateful and thankful for what you're going to do in our midst now, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. You may be seated. Today I want to talk to you about the Apostle Paul and the time and the era that the Apostle Paul lived in. There was another man who lived during this era, and his name was Nero. He was the Caesar, or the governor of Rome in the Roman Empire. So there were two men that lived during this era, Paul the Apostle and Nero the Emperor. And I'd like to kind of relate to you this morning what these two men and what their accomplishments were. It was in the seventh decade that two famous men lived in the same city. While Nero's name was making headlines, Paul's was not. Nero was a hero and Paul was a zero. You ever hear that before? Nero was a hero and Paul was a zero, right? A zero, not a loser, he was a zero. Paul was a very crunched over man. He was balding. He had a crooked nose, history tells us. He had cloudy eyes like an old man. He was coming to the end of his life. Paul kept on talking about Jesus as he was God, while Nero, and he was getting all the attention, people were talking about him as he was a God. I want you to get that. If you were around anybody in Rome in the seventh decade, you would ask them, who's the famous person of this century and the greatest impact they had on the world? Was it Nero or Paul? And of course, everyone at that time, if they were Oprah Winfrey or Jerry Springer or all these other different sports or these talk shows, They might have said, well, of course, it's Nero. But then what about Paul? What about Paul? Nero was married to a woman that was not his wife, or it was his second wife. She was blonde and she was beautiful, the history tells us. History tells us she bathed every day in donkey milk. Matter of fact, history tells us that Nero had 400 donkeys that would be milked every day so she could take a bath because he liked soft skin. I don't know if donkey milk gives you soft skin or not. But yet Nero, that's what he wanted, and what Nero wanted, he what? He got. Plain and simple. At the age of 25, Nero defied himself. Oh, we got all your phones are going to go off for a storm warning. Really more a wind warning. That's all right, just let it go. Let it just go for 20 seconds. You know, God's not going to warn us when the rapture takes place. He's not going to warn us. This is going to happen, right? Oh, that's all right. We live in a time when that happens. I'm willing to work with that. Like I said, at age 25, Nero deified himself. He erected a 120-foot statue of himself. People looked up to Nero, but they looked down to Paul. Paul was a common, described bald-headed, bow-legged, small man with a big nose and a scruffy look. He had thick eyebrows that met in the middle. I guess he never got a haircut much. And his body was covered with scars. I'm just reading to you what Josephus says. Nero was the hero, while Paul was the zero in the eyes of the world. But I want you to know, in God's eyes, right? In God's eyes, while Paul might have been a zero to the world, but in God's eye, Paul was the hero. He was the hero. To God, Paul was the hero, and Nero was a zero. Nero considered himself as God, while Paul considered himself as a servant of the Most High God. Nero had it all, while the Apostle Paul had Christ in all. If you think about it, who had lasting impact upon the world and the culture of today? History tells us that there's no cathedrals out there named Saint Nero, that there are not names of people named Nero. But history tells us that there are cathedrals named after the Apostle Paul, like St. Paul Cathedral, or names that people give to their children as Paul or Pauline. So we see that Paul's name and the fact of Paul's name as being a hero. Towns are named after Paul. Cities are named after Paul. Famous places are named after Paul. That's all right. We'll deal with it. Who are the real different makers in this world? Not those that are in the spotlight, by no means. Famous people have not like the name that Paul has had. So church, today as we look at Paul's final days, as we look at maybe even your final days here on the earth, though we're all mortal and there's going to be a time that we're going to pass from this life into eternity, just like the year 2023, we passed from that year, and now we're in a new year. The other day, I made a mistake and put on a check 2023, and it came back. You know, January the 5th, 2023, the check was sent back because it was the wrong date on it. Though my intention was to put this year's date, but yet sometimes habits are hard to break. But yet, there's certain laws and things are in place that you can't even change, so everybody else knows what the intention is. And I want you to be aware for that today as we look at Paul's life. Be mindful that your intentions and the things that you do in life and the decisions that you make, your intention is good, but maybe in God's sight, they may not be. Doing good things or living a good life, but yet not having Jesus in your life, your intentions may be good, but the consequences may be bad. How will you be remembered in your life? Will you be remembered by your great accomplishments? Will you be remembered by your integrity or your character in whom you represented it? Will you be remembered by what you've done in your success, maybe your job or your achievements? Though that all has its place, well, let's look at the scripture and see what the scripture says. The scripture says, what is done for Christ will last, And only one life, and then it will what? Pass. Another scripture birth. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and he loses his own soul? So that's what I want to look at today. I want to look at the impact that you're going to have in this life. I want to look at what you're doing and how you're living. Show me your character and I'll show you your integrity. But don't come to me with your integrity because I can't see your character through that. There's just something about a life that is honoring and pleasing to God. And that's what I want to focus in on the life of Paul this morning, if I could. The New Testament records the dramatic life and the deep struggles in the Apostle Paul's life. I don't have time to get into all that, but if you were to turn, Paul tells us of his tumultuous life in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 to 31. If you want to turn to your Bible, you can, because in the Bible, I'm going to be looking at Paul's tumultuous or turbulent life and how his life was in such a turmoil. But yet, through it all, God used him in a great way. Paul was saying that he was and showing the Corinthians that he too can compare to their lives and how they live. But the difference is, in life, either people are going to take advantage of you or you're going to take advantage of them. That in your life, you're going to be inconvenienced or you're going to inconvenience them. And Paul was the type of man, and his character was this: I don't have a problem with you taking advantage of me. I don't have a problem if you inconvenience me, as long as you come to Christ in a realization who Christ is. And that's where we all need to be in life. We need to have that relationship with God that will bring us through every storm and every trial that may come our way. He was there for them more than they were there for him. Matter of fact, the truth to be known, Paul was there for them while others came to take advantage of them and rob them. The Corinth and the church in Corinth, the Corinthians, you can read through 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians and see that over and over again, that people came and used their innocence. Use their innocence to take advantage of them. And when Paul came there, Paul says, I'm not here to take advantage of you. I'm here to share with you Christ. Excuse me. I'm here to share with you Christ. And as a matter of fact, we're going to be looking at the different pearls that Paul went through. Paul went through a lot. He wasn't a super apostle, and he didn't claim to be a super apostle, but he struggled a lot. And there in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 18 to 31, Paul lists his credentials as a minister of Christ. Matter of fact, Paul was beaten 5 different occasions. That was his credentials. He didn't say, I pastored this church for this many years. I did this for this many years. I've been doing this for this many years. Paul didn't share his accomplishment. What Paul shared was the suffering that he went through with Christ. He says, I was beaten 5 times. Has anybody been here been beaten 5 times literally and left as dead? Maybe we get beaten every day by maybe what other people say to us. And I know sticks and stones can break our bones and names will never hurt us. And that's the greatest lie that Satan ever invented. Names do hurt. They do go deep. You are beaten at times. And I know you have. And I get beaten as well. But Paul physically was beaten. He suffered at the hands of the Gentiles. He was sentenced 3 different times by the Roman court, and he was beaten because of what he would preach. He was stoned, not by marijuana, but by rocks in Caesarea, and he was shipwrecked, not including the shipwreck on his way to Rome. He listed several perils of pearl in his travel, how men never gave up on him. They followed him from town to town and caused the town people to rise up against him. There's many other things in Paul's life that was rich, that was mentioned here. That nature, he fought against nature and beast, and he fought against men and wild animals. Paul was up against a lot to bring the gospel. And here we cry a little because it's snowing out, or the wind is blowing, or we can't go to church because of that. But yet Paul, that wasn't his case. He knew what he had to do, and he did what he had to do. Surely none of the apostles probably went through what Paul went through. But yet, Paul was in front of the battle. He preached the cross. He preached Christ. It didn't matter what they did to him. It didn't matter how they treated him. He always kept the testimony of Christ at foremost and forefront. And I think that's the same thing for us as believers in Christ. We need to do that. We have a right to respond. We have a right to defend. But at the same time, if Christ is in us and it's for the sake of Christ, we need to ask him for that grace and that patience to go through that. Paul prayed many of times. He wrote many of letters. He tried to help the believers. He blessed them. He was a man of God. But in the midst of it all, Paul never gloried in himself. He always gloried in what? His infirmities. Circumstances which made clear his weakness forced him to lean on the Lord for strength. In this way, God was glorified. Let me read to you what 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 30 says. If I must boast, I will boast of the things that I have shown my weakness. What is Paul saying? If I'm going to boast, I'm going to boast about my weaknesses. And then over in chapter 12, verse 19, he said these. God said to him, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest upon me. How many of us boast in our weaknesses? How many boast about the hard trials and the hard times that we have gone through? I read something the other day, and it brings a truth out, that maybe the reason we go through hard times is not so that we will depend on Christ, that we will learn through those hard times so we can help somebody else who may be going through those hard times. Maybe we have troubles in our lives. Maybe we have conflict in our life. Not because God is trying to put on us things that we can't bear or things that we can't do, but maybe he's doing that because he wants us to help others who are in need. If we're going to be boast upon God's power working in our weaknesses, amen? Let's go to the next one. Paul walked in a manner in the major cities of the then known Roman world. All over Asia Minor and the Palestinian area, Paul, his heartbeat was seen through these areas. His heartbeat was seen through these areas. He had a heartbeat for these cities. He walked in them. He spoke in them. He stayed there for a period of time. Paul knew the culture. He knew their situation. He knew their struggles. He knew that they were the only one solution to their problem was Jesus Christ, and he stayed there, and he allowed them to know that. Paul knows that. And church, if we are not in our culture, if we are not engaged with our people in our town, if we're not engaged with people's situations and the hardships they're going through, they're not going to know about Christ because maybe we're the only ones that can share Christ with them. That's the beauty of reaching out and touching other people's lives, allowing God to use you to touch somebody else's life. Paul worked as a tent maker, the scripture tells us. He worked in the morning, and then he spoke about Christ and the gospel from 11 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day, except the Sabbath. Can you imagine that? Paul says, I'm coming to you. I don't want anything from you. I'm going to work. I'm going to support myself. That's what I'm going to do. But when I'm done supporting myself, I'm going to preach to you Christ and him alone. And that's what Paul did. That's what he did. He was a tent maker. He knew of the importance of reaching the people and the thing that becomes a stumbling block that doesn't allow people to be reached. He didn't want to be a burden. He wanted to be a blessing. He sacrificed so they could come to Christ without any type of pressure. And oh, what a picture of a beauty there, that we do things not to receive, but we do things so others will receive of the benefit of our relationship with Jesus. Matter of fact, the fourth thing, Paul wrote books as he traveled, and he sat in prison. And we treasure his words to this day, don't we? Think about all the time that Paul was in prison and how we treasured his words and what he says. The book of Philippians comes because he was in jail. The book of Philippians comes out of that. Some of the other books also come out of that. The book of 1 and 2 Timothy comes out of Paul's imprisonment. Matter of fact, the last book that Paul ever wrote was the book of 2 Timothy. And he admonished, and I read the scriptures to you this morning, because it was at this time in his life that his life was going to be a sacrifice for the cause of Christ. I'm going to get in that a little later. Paul was both a prophet and a pastor who never got over that living Jesus meant everything to him, that living Jesus changed him, that he was commissioned to be an apostle, but he was more commissioned to share Christ with everyone who doesn't know who Jesus is. This is not something that he thought of, not something he made up by no means. It was something that was in his heart because he heard the call of God. I read this morning in my devotion, and maybe some of you read this morning in your devotion, about the call of Isaiah to ministry. And the whole purpose of the call that Isaiah heard, it wasn't the fact that the call that Isaiah heard wasn't the call that God was saying to Isaiah. God was mentioning that call to everyone that was present there at that time in heaven. Whom shall we send, or who shall go for us? That was a cry of God's heart. And Isaiah just happened to be on the sideline of it all, and he heard God's cry of his heart. God wasn't speaking to Isaiah, but yeah, Isaiah heard God's call, and Isaiah says, Lord, send me. You know, there are some times that we don't have to be tapped on our shoulder. Sometimes we don't have to be asked by the pastor. Sometimes we don't have to be asked by the board. Sometimes we should have open eyes spiritually to listen to what the Spirit of God is saying. And if he's tapping you on your heart, if he's tapping you on your shoulder, you should say, here, Lord, send me. Make room for me to do this. That's what we need more now than ever before. Sometimes I'm going to have a confession with you. I have a hard time asking people to do things. Not because I want to do it all, but because I'm afraid to ask people, for people to say yes because I asked them and it was not in their heart. And then within a month or 2 months or 3 months, they give it up. And I end up doing it anyway because they gave it up. I confess that to you as your pastor. So if you see me doing something, you need to know why I'm doing it, because I'm going to end up doing it anyway. So that's why I'm doing it. But if you want to hear God's call, if you want to hear God's heart, if you want to listen to his voice, get in touch with him. Get close to him so you can hear of him. Oh, there's so much more I can tell to you. Paul was just not a prophet and a pastor. Paul was a spokesman for God's grace. He was a messenger of grace. His favorite word was grace. It's laced throughout the New Testament over and over again. Paul talked about God's grace over and over again. You know what that word grace means? That word grace means God's unmerited favor upon us. God's grace is upon my life. God's grace is upon your life. His unmerited favor is there. We don't have to do nothing to earn it. He just gives it. I thank God for his grace. I thank him for his protections. I thank him for his provisions. I thank God for his power that gets revealed in my life from time to time. But no matter what, his protection, his provisions, his power is only there because of his grace. Not because of me as any great man or me of any great oracle. By no means do I consider myself a great oracle. Man, I even make mistakes spelling words. And you can ask some of the people around that. They'll tell you. Sometimes I even have a hard time saying words. Because my mind is so engaged in so much, I just go over it sometimes. It sounds good to me here, but when it has to come here, it doesn't come out right. But you know what? That's all right. I don't have a problem with that. Because if I want to be used of God, I just got to do what I got to do. And you got to accept me for what I'm doing. Yeah, I know. Bless your heart. We don't deserve it. We can't earn it. We just have to accept it. I accept God's love in my life just as much as I accept you and you accept me. That's what it's about, grace. Who better to talk about God's grace than the Apostle Paul? He wasn't an old legalistic guy, though he was old. But he was a proclaimer of God's love. Let me give you another one. He was a Jew for all Jews, but he became a missionary to all men. Think about that. He was a chief of sinners, but yet he became a declarer of God's mercy. He was a master of the law who became a master of grace. See, God can take our past and he can change it around for good, for the future. I've always said this, and I always will say this. Your past is no indication of what your future can be in God. Your past is no indication of what your future can be in God. If you want to live in the past, your future is going to be there. But if you want to live in God's presence, live in his present as well as in the presence of him. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 to 10 says this, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith, not of works, lest any man should what? Both. It's the gift of God. For we are God's workmen, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. What does that tell me? God's got a good work for you. And it's been prepared in advance. You know, when I know my kids are coming, we prepare for them to come. Are you with me on that? Are you with me on that? Beds are made, rooms are vacuumed, things are taken care of, things that are on the low shelf go on the high shelf. Because my grandkids will find them no matter where I put them. They're just that way. Even if I put something in front of a drawer, they have a way to get in there. I don't know how they do it. Levi, how did you get that? I put something in front of it. They're able to do it. And then the other thing, and you know what I'm saying here, parents, grandparents, when they're holding your phone, and how do they unlock it? How do they even open it? I mean, I got a password protected. I even got face recognition on my devices. How do they get it open? Now, I know they're my flesh and blood, but yeah, they got it open. It amazes me. In advance, you prepare for things. God in advance has prepared for you to work for him. Everywhere Paul went, he may have caused an uproar, according to Acts chapter 1. He may have caused an uproar, but good always came out of that uproar. A person was delivered from a demonic spirit. Another person was healed. Another person that was trying to get value through the baptism of the Holy Spirit that wanted to purchase it for Paul. His life was changed, and now he serves God, not as a sorcerer, but now as a disciple of Christ in the kingdom of God. Everywhere Paul went, there was an uproar, but there was changed lives. Church, you need to know this, and this, I know this is a truth, and I think you know it too. People don't reject what you say. People reject the message that you say. Don't take it personal. It's one thing if you say something that offends them, but it's another thing when you tell them the truth and it offends them. Don't take rejection as what you say. Take that as of Christ. And Christ even said that. They're going to reject you for the words that you say and the life that you live. But have this knowledge today. Paul reveals the secret of his ability in the face of opposition to endure to the end. And church, we need to know that the reason and the answer for that face of opposition to the end. Number one, being rejected and often left for dead, how did Paul face the severe challenges in his life? Plain and simple, he realized it was not him they were attacking, but it was the message that he was attacking. That's the greatest truth that I think you need to know today, especially in the time that we're living in. We live in a very chaotic world. Things that were good are now evil, and things that are evil are now good. I don't get it. I really don't get it, but yet it happens. And we live in a system and a culture that we live in today where that's what's going on. It's going on. I don't want to get into it all, but it's going on. We need to know the answer. Yes, we do. But we also need to know that we're following Christ, and these are the things that are going to happen. I think the truth is we all have storms of some kind in our life. As I look around the room, I know that some of you are facing some struggles in life. Some of you are facing financial needs. Some of you are facing some physical needs. Some of you are facing spiritual needs. I know that. And no matter the storms are there and no matter the hardship is there, you're going to face them, but don't face them alone. God never intended you to do it alone. He intended you to depend upon him. And I want to share that with you this morning. He's in control of your life. He's going to help you. He's the one that's going to solve your issues. He's the one that's going to bring you through. He's the one that's going to stand with you if he needs to. Even if you're in a position of being rejected or being made fun of, know this, that he is there with you. Let me go on to the secret, if I can say. Why in Roman prison, Paul wrote to Timothy, revealing the secret of his endurance. Church, we need to endure. The secret of our endurance is found in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 8 through 12. I don't know if, yes, it's up on the board. Thank you there, Rod. I want you to look or listen, either or, do one or the other. So, do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, his prisoner. Remember, Paul wrote this to Timothy. He wrote this to the church in general. Okay? Do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me, who is in prison. But join with me in suffering for the gospel, by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality in light through the gospel. And of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle, a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Why was Paul suffering? Because of his relationship, his place that he was in life. Yet he said this, I am not ashamed because I know whom I have believed in, and I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. The Greek word the word right here for Greek says this, for I know. That Greek word for know means the intimate relationship. Paul knew through his intimate relationship. Can we say that of our relationship with God? Intimately? For whom I have believed in. For whom I have. I'm stressing this to let you know. That word have in the Greek is oidarkia, meaning this. It's something that means something dear to my heart. Oidarkia means it's something that means dear to my heart. I love my wife. She's dear to my heart. I love my kids. They're dear to my heart. I love my grandkids. They're dear to my heart. Church, there's just something about when God grips your heart, and it becomes dear. The church in general became dear to Paul's heart. Paul anchored his life in the hope that is out of this world. I had an insurance agent one time ask me, do you have good insurance? I said, I have the greatest insurance that I could ever had. It's going to take me out of this world. It's out of this world. Isn't that the truth, right? Paul anchored his life to a hope that is out of this world. Another one, Paul entrusted his life into the hands of God. You got to trust your life in the hands of God. If you haven't trusted your life in the hand of God, those that are here today or those that are listening online, you're missing on the greatest privilege that God has given to humanity. Putting your life into his hands. Let him work everything together for your good. Enoch did that, and what happened to him? He was no longer. He put his hope in God. He put his life in God's hand. The scripture says Enoch was and he was no more. That means he didn't die. God took him to heaven. He was raptured. Plain and simple. What about Job? Job went through some hardships, didn't he? But Job said these words, though he slay me, yet I will what? Serve him. Though I be tried as gold, I will come forth. You know, there's just something about the trying. There's something about coming forth. And that's what God wants to reveal to us here today. I could take time and talk about Abraham. I could talk about Isaac. I can talk about Jacob, David, Peter, and Paul. And then the men throughout the ages of the last 2,000 years, the Crusaders and all the other different ones that God had used to allow the gospel to be propagated around the world. They may not have turned the world upside down like we would love the world to be turned upside down, but they allow their lives to be turned upside down, and then also the others that they touch. Time's going on. Thank you for enduring with me. Paul ended his life very well. Nero didn't. Paul ended his life very well, but Nero didn't. Paul says, I already have poured out my life as a drink offering. I read it. The time has come for my departure. He's not talking from the Roman prison. He's talking about from this life. He also said, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous just, will reward to me. I want to share with you from the Fox Books of Martyr this morning about how Paul died. Paul's new life began on the Damascus Road, where he was knocked off his high horse, and God got ahead of him, got a hold of him. But in the end, his life was ended on a chopping block in Rome. A chopping block in Rome. Listen to what the Fox Books of Martyr talks about Paul's death. And it reads, one day in the late spring, they came to his cell in the Maritime prison in Rome. They opened his door. His executioner led him out of the city of Agnes on the Agnes Road. As they were walking out, other travelers would have been walking into Rome. They would have paid little attention to this man. No one would have recognized his face. No one would have known his crimes. He was just another prisoner, just another dead man walking. After traveling a few miles down the road, the executioner would have stopped. A block would be laid down. His head would be placed upon it. A sword would be raised, and in an instant, the head of the most influential writer of all times would roll on the ground. Paul had known his share of suffering, but he did not shrink back from his calling. I want you to think about that, the price that he paid for being a witness for God. But on the other hand, let me read to you what history says about Nero. Nero, at the age of 29, only 4 years in office, was lonely and paranoid. His second wife killed his first wife, and Nero kicked his pregnant second wife, and she died. 4 years after Paul's death, history tells us that Nero ended up committing suicide. What a way to die, without Christ, without Christ. Nero was no hero. Paul was the hero. Paul still impacts all of us today. I'd like to share you an illustration as our worship team comes up. Helen Halsworth Lemuel was born in England, came to the United States at the age of 12. Eventually, she settled in... Oh, that's me. I'm sorry. I got too close to a mic. Eventually, she settled in Chicago. She married a man quite wealthy from England. She taught voice at the Moody Bible Institute. And then she moved to Los Angeles. During her lifetime of 98 years, she composed over 500 hymns and poems and even authorized a child's book. It was during her middle years of her life that things changed dramatically. She was dealt with a couple of big blows to her faith. Helen became blind, and her husband abandoned her. Life became a struggle for her and would have challenged anybody's faith in this room today. But it was in the midst of the dark days that God gave her this song. That song was Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus. Let's sing that. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face and the things of earth. just going to play that softly. You know, Helen suffered with blindness and a husband leaving her. Though it's all that she could do but to turn her eyes on Jesus. I don't know what your situation is here today. I don't know what your circumstances are. I know this, you can't do it alone. I say that as a man, I say that as your pastor. You can't do it alone. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to lead you in a prayer to allow you to get your life right with God. So I'm going to ask everyone to just bow their head, close your eyes. Maybe you're here today. Maybe this week you feel that circumstances have dealt you a blow, and someone has abandoned you. You feel the pain, you feel the hurt, you feel the sorrow. It's understandable. I'm not trying to take away and validate the pain that you have. You might feel confused, or you might feel angry. You might even be feeling that you've been let down. How can you put your trust in a God that you don't see? It's understandable when you're feeling that way. But I want to encourage you. Others will fail you. But if you give your heart and your life to Jesus, He'll never fail you. He'll never fail you, because that's what He does. He'll never leave you. He'll never forsake you. He will always be there for you. Will you turn your eyes to Jesus? So with every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I need Jesus. Last year is done. This year is just coming. We're really just in the beginning of the freshness of this year. Wouldn't it be great that you start this new year with Jesus in your life? With every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, I want you to raise your hand and I want to pray with you, this pastor. I want to believe that you can get right with God and God can get right with you. That He'll be there with you and for you and through it all. You don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it on your own. He wants you. Do you need Jesus today? If you do, raise your hand. Maybe somebody listening online needs Christ. We never know where people are at. But yet, we have a tool that God's given us where we can speak beyond these four walls. And we can speak into the living rooms of people's homes through the internet. And maybe you're listening today online and you need Jesus. If you do, I want you to pray this prayer with me this day. And then somehow let me know that you prayed this prayer, and I want to put material in your hand that will help you serve Christ. So if you need Jesus, just repeat this prayer after me online. Heavenly Father, I come before you today. I realize I'm a sinner and I'm in need of your grace. I thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for my sins. And today, I want to confess Him as my personal Savior. Jesus, come into my heart. Forgive me of all of my sins and make me right in your Father's sight. And from this day forward, I'm going to serve you. So help me, God. Amen. Remember, if you prayed that prayer online, or maybe someone here might have prayed that prayer quietly, please come and talk to me. I want to give you information that will help you with your walk. Hallelujah. Christians, believer, do you ever feel like you're holding on for dear life? If you ever felt like that, raise your hand. Let me know that you're listening to me, that you're there. You know, you're holding on for dear life. You say, Pastor, I'm holding on for dear life. For some, it may be I'm holding on for dear life. Every breath that I take, if God's not there, I would be gone. When you face struggles because of your faith, remember Paul. He anchored himself in the purposes that were much higher and greater than his life. There are many fights that you can fight, but the one fight you need to fight is a good fight of faith. Keep your faith in Jesus. Don't give in. Don't give out. Don't give up. You may throw in your wits' ends. And you may be going through wits' ends. But never give up on faith, your faith end. Because your faith end will bring you to Christ. Fight that good fight like Paul did. Finish that race. We're going to sing this song. And we're going to sing it as a prayer. And as we sing it as a prayer, as God speaks to your heart, slowly raise to your feet and say, God, I'm going to look to you.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look for his wonderful face and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
Lift your hands to the Lord.
Turn to him.
Look
full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.
So we're going to sing it again. Surrender to him.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the
on that and play it. Father, I just want to pray for everyone across this church this day and maybe those that are listening online. Father, you know their struggles. You know their fights. Lord, you know the fights within. You know the days that they feel like Jacob wrestling with an angel because I need an answer. And God, you give an answer. And in the answer, you change their name from Jacob, a deceiver, to Israel, a prince of God. We are your children. You love us. You care about us. You're there for us. When all others may forsake us, when all others may leave us, you're as close as the mention of that name. You're as close as the mention of that name. Jesus. Jesus, come. Visit your people today. Minister to their needs, I pray. And Father, we're just asking you to do something great on their behalf now. Continue to have your way, we pray. Work in their hearts, work in their lives. And Father, we thank you for it now. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. We're going to cut our feet now, if we could. And in cutting our feet, we want to pray for some people that have some pressing needs in their lives. We want to protect their integrity, their privacy. That's why we're going to cut the feet. But